Keller.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Thank you for answering my call, sir.
Well, I was at lunch, damn it. They didn't tell me. I just gave the operator hell.
Well, this is Ralph Yarbrough, and I was mad as hell. I got this issue, this Time magazine, November 8th, over on 32, said that I offered to bet somebody for an unspecified sum of money that you'd run against me in 1970. I just called Mr. DeMaris, said his name, the senior Time editor on the political section. Told him it's a damn lie and demanded an retraction.
Oh, you ought to pay attention to that stuff. They lie every week on the show. They're talking, you tell them that they got it mixed up, but you said my grandson was, and that you're preparing yourself now for him.
Claiming the correspondent. I said, who was he? I'll call the correspondent. Well, he wouldn't reveal who the correspondent. I said, you're slandering the president.
You get your blood pressure down. You tell him if I wanted to run for office, I'd been running this year, and I'd have beat hell out of Nixon.
I believe that.
I want to just go.
I had letters before that convention. And I sent you some of them. Yeah. Said you was the only man to beat him.
We're going to beat him anyway.
I think he's going to run.
We got, I'm like old Bill Burnett. Did you ever know old Bill and Walter over at St. Marcus?
Yes, yes. I didn't know where they were at first. Yeah. Just didn't know them well. But
well, they lived up here at Wormley. Their daddy was up here at Blanco, and he's one of the wisest old.
Judge I knew him well, sir.
Well,
he's one of my great friends.
He's a real Democrat.
Oh, a great. He fought for every Democrat.
Well, I made him postmaster, and he took that job, and he'd stomp around out there on those marble floors, those boots on, you know, and shoot it back in his mouth. Every time I'd come home, he'd want to resign. And I said, well, goddammit, you wanted the job. You took the civil service, and you passed it. And you got it, and it pays $6,000-$7,000 a year. And it's kind of depression times. I said, I'm not going to go through another examination and go have all that damn trouble on my hands again. And so finally one time I came home, and he said he had to see me. He came up here at the federal building, stomped around, came in, and said, well, so I resigned. Here she is. Just handed me a tablet paper, you know, resignation. I said, well, have you talked to your folks about that? Said, yes. I said, well, have you talked to your mother about it? Said, yes, yes. I went out to Wormley and talked to Ma. I said, what'd she say? Said, she agrees with you that I ought to resign. But said, I just can't stay cooped up there. I'm just not an inside man. And I said, what'd your mother say? She said, well, you ought to have more sense than that. Said, that's the only job you ever had in your life where you could wear a necktie. And said, now you're quitting it. Well, that's kind of the way I am. I want to get back home where I don't have to wear a necktie. I haven't had one on in the last 2 days.
Mr. President, thank you for this privilege of going with you and the Vice President. That's great, right? That's one of the tremendous things I ever saw, that walk you and Vice President had around that ring. I didn't get to see the Today Show this morning. Working on something else, but they tell me they had the finest pictures they've ever seen on Today Show, sweeping those vast crowds. And
I didn't see it either. I didn't know it.
I had people that kind of jaundiced to watch Today Show. Said, looked like as a friendly cameraman. Said he swept that thing, showing that the Coliseum was full to the rafters. Said the pictures were tremendous. If you had a motion picture man to do it, he couldn't have done it better.
Well, you and old Jim Wright and Will Davis and all those boys down there in Houston work. Y'all deserve credit. I don't deserve anything.
The Hoffheim's work.
I doubted the wisdom of the even ought to go. I was afraid it hurt him. I didn't know, but all the Freeman kept calling up, and Hubert himself asked me to, and I told him that any time he wanted me to go anywhere, I would go.
So
he said so, and that they started putting it on radio every 30 minutes that I was going to come. My boy came out here from Austin, said he heard it all Saturday afternoon and yesterday morning, and so I didn't make up my mind to go till about 2 o'clock, 1:30, and we had talked about it, and I asked Jim to be sure to check with you to see if you wanted me to go, if you thought it was all right. He said you did, that you thought they ought to go, and so I went, but I've been afraid, you know, I'd hurt him, and I want him to get every damn vote he can get.
Mr. President, it might interest you to know we had a staff conference this morning. I got practically all my staff down here working on this, of course.
Yeah.
They start home tonight to get back to home.
Yeah.
Get practically closed up this last 2 or 3 weeks. Had a staff conference there, and all of them said your speech was the only one had any mood in it, that Hubert's wasn't much to it. Yours had real meat in that speech.
Well, it was too long. You had the right length of time. I always spoke about 4 or 5 minutes and let him speak extemporaneous. But you see, the president, the damn press, there's 75 of them following him, and George Christian had given this out before they caught the plane from San Antonio. If I didn't say it, then they got up and said I misled them. I do say it, put everybody to sleep. I know the difference between Jim Ferguson and Ross Sterling, you know. And I can give them a little Ferguson if I have to. That's what you was giving them a little bit of there yesterday, and you were ringing the rafters with it. But
well, it's
pretty hard to do
I
it.
I didn't have to deliver. I'm not a president or vice president. All right. Put a little slave on there.
Well, you got the crowd, and we got a paragraph of paper.
You got the substance.
No, we got the paragraph in the paper. That's
you
all.
You got the paper because you had meat in
here. No, they had it written out. That's usually it. They won't publish anything if you don't have it handed to them. But
well, you also is going to get to introduce the president. Actually, I was a little bit excited. I didn't.
You did a really, you did a beautiful job of it. And
spur of the moment, I didn't come through. But frankly, I was. This is kind of a surprise.
I didn't know how to do it, but I thought that Texas is, you know, that's the second round. He started picking up when he came down here last time and all y'all met him. And
he started.
And you well, started, they quoted you all over the United States saying that more Texans got together this time than nearly any other time, and it's wonderful, and that we all are going to pull together, and even though we had fights among ourselves, that we were going to all support our friend, that went around, and that helped.
Well,
I could just feel it from then on improving. Now, have you heard about the new Harris?
About the what?
New Harris poll?
Jim,
get me that new Harris poll that you had.
That's probably one thing. They print this Bishop's thing in this paper trying to split our friends, and another thing, you know, they try to pull... This morning, try to drag Connally, try to make it look like he's supporting Nixon. They're desperate down here.
Yeah, I've heard that. What do they do?
Well, the Dallas Times Herald printed the story that he met with them on 14th of October and told them Nixon ought to be elected president instead of Humphrey.
No, he didn't do such a thing.
No, he denied it today, and they reclaimed it. They're getting desperate. They're so desperate.
Well, here's what the Harris shows. Fred Panzer in my office at Hamill Pole, this called here at 210.
I hadn't seen this one.
We'll take it down.
Yes, sir. I'm getting the best of that. Yes.
Harris poll, which will be released today, shows a 5-point switch over yesterday's Harris poll.
5-point switch in one day?
Over yesterday's Harris poll. Humphrey, 43. Nixon, 40. Wallace, 13. Not sure, 4.
Great.
Harris is certain Humphrey will win the popular vote, but not sure if he can win the Electoral College. Harris poll today also shows the president's popularity is way up. It's now 49%. On Vietnam and the president's bombing hall decision, Harris shows as of November 2nd, Saturday, the decision was 55-28 approval of the president's decision. Today's poll shows the approval at 54-29.
Mr. President, I felt certain your appearance would help Humphrey, but I didn't know it'd be, but there's such a tremendous margin. That one, that ship, that bumming poles and your appearances had a whale of luck to do with this 5-point ship.
I don't know whether you believe these poles or not. All I know is what they call down here.
Well, even the Dallas News this morning, Mr. President, front page says it's Tulsa. Gallup admits it's Tulsa. When the Dallas News will put a big front page editorial for Nixon and admit it's Tulsa, they can smell that Humphrey's coming up so fast that he's probably going to win.
I sure hope he does. Well, you just tell him you checked in, you find out that I don't have any intention whatever of running for any office, but that it's my grandson that's going to run against you when he reaches the constitutional limit. And we've already agreed on the ground rules.
That I'd better quit trying to outlive up as long as my ancestors did.
Tell him you got to live a lot longer than Carl Hayden to make that, because he's not but 15 months old, and he's getting some damn good training, isn't he?
Isn't he though? He can clap his hands, wave, and everything.
He's 29. Got 29 years to go, but when I match him, he'll really give you a run. It'll be a racehorse.
I just want to assure you, I never put out.
Oh, I know you didn't.
I told this fella, I said, I've never told anybody in my life I'd bet on.
You just tell him you never told anybody in your life you're going to have an opponent. You're going to be elected out of opposition. You're not going to admit that, by God, you deserve an opponent.
I told him furthermore that people in Texas didn't vote. People went around offering to bet money. I said, that's like saying a man stays drunk all the time. We had to round and round, and he was a reputable correspondent, but he wouldn't tell me who it was.
You wouldn't ought to waste your time on it. I don't tell you. They published more damn lies on me than anybody in the world, and quote me as saying this and that all the time, and I don't pay attention to them.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Good bye. Much
pleasure. You don't understand. I didn't put.
Oh, I know that. I didn't pay attention.
I was just trying to get our people. For years, my friends mad at each other, so they won't get out and make a maximum effort to Humphrey.
I'll get it and read it. I don't know what to talk about. Much bye.
Thank you. God bless you.